Greymoor Friars Monastery is located on Atoman Mountain, near Garrison, New York. Adjacent to this famous monastery, one sees St. Christopher's Inn. Homeless men from all walks of life come to this famous inn. These men are fed and sheltered by the Greymoor Friars, and no distinction is ever made of race, creed, or color. You are invited to listen to another chapter of the dramatized story, The Life of Christ, brought to you transcribed each week by the Greymoor Friars, who offer this series with a prayerful hope that this vivid portrayal of the life of Christ will help to awaken in you a deeper personal love of God and a firm determination to strive to prove that love in your daily life. Now, Chapter 7, The Rejection at Nazareth.
Despised and the most abject of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with infirmity, and his look was, as it were, hidden and despised, whereupon we esteemed him not.
When Jesus departed from Samaria, he went into Galilee and was received by the people. For many had been at the feast in Jerusalem and seen the things he had done there, and the things he had done in Cana, not far from Nazareth, were on men's tongues. And when the people of his own town of Nazareth learned he was coming home, there was much talk and speculation about him.
Oh, Rabbi, you can be sure people will look at their maps now and know there's a town called Nazareth. The whole of Palestine's talking about our Jesus.
Yes, yes, I know, Simeon, but why isn't he here?
To think, Jesus, the carpenter's son, acclaimed wherever he goes. They say more crowds flock to him than to John the Baptist. By the way, what's happened to John?
Herod put him in prison. But what's keeping Jesus? We were told he was on his way from Cana.
And did you hear what happened there? An official from Capernaum...
Don't tell that story again, Simeon. I've heard it 100 times.
And to think, only a year ago, no one had...
Unclean! Unclean!
The leper.
Unclean!
It's the leper!
Come no closer, leper. Keep the required distance from us. What do you want?
Is he come?
He asks about Jesus.
No. Go back to your camp. You are not permitted here. Go quickly or you'll be stoned.
We must put a guard around the town or we'll be overrun with his kind.
What is it? Is he coming?
He's here, Rabbi. I just saw him.
Where? Where is he?
At his mother's house. I saw him enter but a moment ago.
One would think he would show himself, Rabbi.
Perhaps he has his reasons.
We wait for him. We acclaim him after his absence, but he looks at his own people in silence and stays in his mother's house.
It's fitting that a man honor his mother.
But there are others who wish to do him honor. He should come out and talk to us. Tell us what he's been doing. The wonders he's done.
Yes. We all want to hear about that.
And to see for ourselves. Rabbi, we must ask him to work some signs here.
For instance, Simeon, what would you like to see?
Well, things he's done in other places. Like at Cana.
Come right down to it. What did happen there?
Do you know the official's son? Jesus told him that his son lived. And when he got home, the boy was alive.
The boy was still alive when the official left Capernaum. How do we know Jesus saved him? The fever could have broken of its own accord.
But the boy was cured at the very hour when Jesus told his father he was saved. Now, do you think it was a lucky chance the boy got better?
Jesus has lived here all his life. He was a quiet, obedient son to his mother and to Joseph. Nothing unusual about him?
That's true.
Wouldn't you think that during that time he would have given some indication of this ability men seem to think he now has?
He was a good student and read the scriptures well when it came to his turn in the synagogue.
But he never studied to become a rabbi. He was content to remain a carpenter.
Well, there's no denying that, Rabbi.
So if I were you, I'd reserve judgment. Wait till you've seen these wonders with your own eyes.
Jesus never missed coming to the synagogue on the Sabbath. Will you invite him to speak?
Oh, yes, of course. He can take his turn in the reading, and he'll be permitted to speak if he wishes.
Well, then I'll tell the people. You may be sure the synagogue will be filled and overflowing on this Sabbath.
It was the custom among the Jews at this time to conduct a long ceremony on the Sabbath, and after prayers had been said, qualified Israelites read from the holy books. It happened that on the Sabbath that Jesus went to the synagogue, the book of Isaiah was being explained, and the rabbi was just finishing his selection.
And strangers shall stand and shall feed your flocks, and the sons of strangers shall be your husbandmen and the dressers of your vines. But you shall be called the priests of the Lord. To you it shall be said, ye ministers of our God, you shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and you shall pride yourselves in their glory. Jesus will now read.
Now he will give us a sign. I see it all now. He did not want to do this when he first arrived, but waited until the Sabbath, when all were present. Yes, this is the way to do it. Much better. More dramatic. And convincing in the presence of all.
What's taking him so long? Why doesn't he select a passage at random? He's looking for a particular message. At last, he's found it. I wonder what it'll be.
Attention, please.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim to the captives release and sight to the blind, to set at liberty the oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of recompense. Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.
And then Jesus preached to them in such manner that they all bore him witness and marveled at the words of grace that came from his mouth.
Never has man spoken as he. Whence comes this knowledge?
Yes, where? When he never attended the school for scribes.
Is not this Joseph's son? Amazing, I say, that a mere carpenter among us can speak with such authority.
Amazing.
A remarkable sermon, I must admit that. But how an untutored mind could give it, I can't understand. I've never found such meanings that he gives to the law and to the scriptures. Where has he studied? I must find out.
What's he waiting for? Words, 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 but no signs. Can he do what they say? Or does he persuade them to believe by the cleverness of his tongue?
And of all those who went into the synagogue, only one understood the words. One who sat in the gallery for women and looked down on her son, Mary, mother of Jesus.
That's what I want to know.
Give him a little time.
Well, he's been here over a week, hasn't he?
Yes, but if only...
And we have people here who are sick.
A good point, Simeon. The widow of Caleb has a son who has been ill for a long time.
Yes, yes, Rabbi, we know that.
Jesus has been here 10 days. The boy is still in bed with a fever.
Yes, yes.
And this official of Capernaum's son was, so we're told, cured of his fever by a few words.
That's what we've been told.
But here, where Jesus lived all his life, none of the sick has been cured.
What are you driving at, Rabbi?
Isn't it a bit odd? He should do these wonderful things for strangers, and nothing for his own friends and neighbors.
We must be patient.
Oh, out with patience. I've waited long enough. Rabbi, if Jesus has done nothing come this Sabbath, someone ought to get up in the synagogue and ask him right out. What's the reason?
Who knows, Simeon? Perhaps someone shall.
Every eye on Jesus.
Rabbi, too, is looking at him as if expecting him to say something.
He has something to say. And he has to say something. He must know that everyone's asking about it.
Shh, he's getting up.
You will surely quote me this proverb. Physician, cure thyself. Whatever things we have heard of as done in Capernaum, do here also in thy own country.
He knows all right.
Now he will act.
Amen, I say to you. No prophet is acceptable in his own country. In truth, I say to you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elias, when heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and there came a great famine all over the land. And to none of them was Elias sent, but only to a woman, a widow in Sarepta of Sidon. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Eliseus the prophet, and not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian.
Quiet! Quiet! The rabbi is speaking!
Listen to your rabbi! This is a house of God.
What is this we hear from the son of Joseph the carpenter? Here in our house, where we've welcomed and permitted him to address us, when his friends and neighbors are sick and in need, does he hold out his hand to them?
No! No!
No! No! No!
What do we hear from our fellow townsmen? He who is so considerate of strangers. Does he not say to us, Elias and Eliseus, the prophets, preferred Gentiles to Israelites? A widow in Sidon?
There are widows in Nazareth.
A leper.
We have lepers.
True, true, Simeon. But the leper he speaks of was a Syrian.
Physician, cure thyself.
Out of our synagogue with him. Take him to the rock.
Throw him over the cliff.
See him go?
No. Where can he be? Not a rabbit could hide on the slope. He was with us when we started up.
All I know, he's gone. Disappeared.
Impossible.
Where is Glory?
I don't like this. I'm getting out of here.
Don't look at me. I'm not to blame.
We were fools to put hands on him.
Can it be? God would not let us do this thing.
Unclean. Unclean. Unclean.
They ran from the hill and into the streets of Nazareth. And man Look not into the eyes of man, nor into the eyes of Mary, who had followed the crowd. For there was fear and shame in their hearts. In a manner they could not understand, Jesus had passed from among them and had gone to Capernaum, where he began to preach on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at the teaching, for his word was with authority. And among those who rejoiced at his coming were the brothers Andrew and Simon.
We're coming close, Simon. Lower the sail. I'll row. You make the sail secure. Men are flocking to hear Jesus preach, Simon.
Yes.
Will you ever forget the first meeting with him? That day at the Jordan when, because of what John said, I followed him.
I've not forgotten, Andrew.
I remember how startled you were when I broke in on you, shouting, "We found the Messiah." But you did not question. You came with me, and before I could tell him who you were, he told who was our father and called you Cephas.
Andrew, you can't talk and row the boat. We're ashore. Hello! Hello!
Who are you calling to?
To James and John. Over there. They're waving to us. They're talking to someone.
They're coming this way. Who is that with them?
I can't tell at this distance, but their father's in the boat shouting to them. Old Zebedee's very excited, but they pay no attention to him.
Come. Come, let's get the nets out.
They must be repaired.
Better let the nets dry before we start work.
Andrew, look. With James and John.
It's Jesus.
Rabbi.
Master, you have come.
Come. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.
Without turning to look back, Simon and Andrew, James and John, follow Jesus along the strand of the sea into the town of Capernaum. And Jesus was no longer alone. He had chosen 4 men, and with them he began his conquest of the world that was then and the world to come.
Despised and the most abject of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with infirmity, and his look was, as it were, hidden and despised, whereupon we esteemed